that you help us to see ourselves the way you see us in the name of Jesus, and that your name will be glorified. Father, as we go into your word, we pray that you please speak to every one of us. Father, Lord, use me as you will in the name of Jesus. Some things are not clear, but I'm trusting the Holy Spirit of God to speak, that you grant us understanding in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Good morning, church. There's still maybe 20 seconds left before it's afternoon. So good morning, church. Hope we're having a wonderful time in God's presence. Hope we're having a wonderful time in God's presence. Yes. Amen. Amen. I've been totally blessed. Today's message was kind of what choir sang, actually. I was just thinking about the song. There's a part that said, I think was it verse 3 or 4? I pray, teach me to pray, that one. Teach me to pray. Yes, it says, teach me, dear Lord, to live all of my life through your eyes. And I pray that as we've sang it, that would be our true desire in the name of Jesus, that the Lord would teach us to live all of our lives through his own eyes. The Bible reading that we had this morning, if you remember the Bible reading, was talking about David in 2 Samuel, and how Nathan, the prophet, gave him a word. He said, you know what, go and say to David, there was a certain man, he had so many sheep, cattle, he had everything. And there was another one that had just one sheep. And he said to him that, then a visitor came to their neighborhood, and when the visitor came to their neighborhood, I think it was their custom to entertain the guest. So what did this rich man do? This rich man decided that, you know what, I'm not going to take any of my stuff, but I'll go and take the sheep that belonged to that one man, that only sheep that he had, that was almost everything to him. So he took that sheep, you know, killed the sheep and made it a feast for the person that came to visit. And when David heard this, he said that surely whoever's done that, he said, did he say we'll pay x4? Or is it x10? x4. I think he said, whoever's done this will pay x4. That what kind of errant nonsense is this? And Nathan said to him, this person we're talking about is actually you. He said, this is what you did to Uriah's wife. He said, I gave you everything, even if you want much, much more. He didn't say just much more. He said, if you wanted much, much more, he said, I would have given it to you, but this is what you have done. And David repented for what he has done. Today, the theme for 2019 is that we're complete in him, a call to spiritual maturity. And as we go through the year, I'd like us to, you know, always remember a few points that would help us to walk in the calling that God has given to every one of us. I remember at the beginning of the year, Bible study, I asked the question, because it was a question that the Holy Spirit asked me. And I said that if somebody gets to a place 5 minutes late, and another gets to the place, another meeting, 15 minutes late, which one of the situations is worse? Okay? So one person gets there 5 minutes late to a meeting, and then another person gets to another meeting 15 minutes late. Which one of the situations is worse? A very simple question. And then the feedback I got on that day, somebody said it depends. I was like, really? It depends. Okay, so if it depends, a simple question that has been answered with a very complicated answer, it depends. So what does it depend on? And then there were some suggestions of what it depended on. Now, the answer is correct. The answer to that question is correct. And then somebody said something like, if the first meeting that was had, if 5 minutes that person missed was when important things were discussed. That person has missed the important part of that meeting, yes? But the other person that was 15 minutes late, if the important things were said towards the later part of the meeting, then that person has not missed the important things. Am I making sense? I'll say that again. In the first meeting that the person missed 5 minutes, if the important things were said within that first 5 minutes, if you compare that to the second situation when the person that's missed 15 minutes, the important things were said later on, then which one is worse? First or second one? The first one is worse, although it was 5 minutes late, but the second one was 15 minutes late. Just looking at it on the literal grounds, you might think, oh, 15 minutes is definitely worse. At least that one was only 5 minutes late. Another person gave another thing. Another person said something like, okay, if the 5 minutes meeting was actually, the total value of that meeting was 10 minutes. That was the total duration of that minute of that meeting, 10 minutes, yeah? And the second meeting, the total duration is 60 minutes, an hour. Which is worse? One person has missed 50%, while in the other meeting the person has missed 25%. So which is worse? The first one. Maths class. The first one. That's worse because that person has missed 15 minutes. That person has missed 50% of that meeting, while the other person has missed only 25% of it. So the first one is worse. And honestly, you can come up with all different kind of scenarios that shows that even the one that's missed 15 minutes is actually worse. For instance, if they were deciding that they were appointing leaders and you wanted to be part of the leadership team, and but they've already appointed the leaders within the first 15 minutes, but in the other one, they spent the first 5 minutes praying before they appointed the leader. So you can argue either way. That's why the answer, it depends, is actually very correct. Amen. Now, when we see things the way God sees us, it helps us to be complete in Him. Amen. When we see things the way God sees us, when I see the way God sees me, it helps me to be complete in Him. Amen. When I see through the eyes of others, when I see through the eyes of other situations, I do not see exactly how God is seeing me. And as a result, I'm not able to fully manifest my potentials. Praise the Lord. Now, 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12 to 18. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12 to 18. I think I would only read verse 12. It says that, "For we dare not class ourselves or compare ourselves with those who commend themselves. But they, measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves, are not wise." In this year that God is calling us to be complete in Him, a call to spiritual maturity, it's a time that we're no longer comparing ourselves with ourselves. We're no longer comparing ourselves to the standards that we see around us. Praise the Lord. We're not comparing ourselves to the standard that we see around us, but we're seeing ourselves the way God sees us. If we look at verse 18 now, it says that it's not him that commends himself that is approved, but he that the Lord commends. For not he who commends himself is approved, but whom the Lord commends, it's him that is approved. So the guys that are comparing themselves, so I'm comparing myself to Ugo. I'm like, Ugo, you know what? Ugo, I already have a degree. What about you? Huh? You're getting it soon. Amen. And I'm like, Ugo, I already have a wife. You're getting it. Ugo, I already have children. You're getting it. Amen. Amen. They that compare themselves with themselves are not wise, because you're looking at the standard that is in there. God is calling you to a place of spiritual maturity this year. God is calling you to be, for lack of word, an international champion. That's where God is taking you to, but you're happy to be a local champion. In my peer group, no one prays as much as I pray. Okay, no one prays as much as you pray because you attend prayer meetings. That's why you said that no one prays as much as you pray. But God is calling you to a place where he wants you to lay hands on the sick and they should recover. God is calling you to be complete in him. Amen. So when we go about comparing ourselves to what we see around us, we won't be able to get to that level that God wants us to get to. Amen. What are the dangers of comparing ourselves with the standards that we see around us? What are the dangers of comparing ourselves with the standard we see around us? Number one is we would never fulfill our potentials. If you're comparing yourself, if you're not seeing the way God sees you, you would never fulfill your potential. Say to your neighbor, you will fulfill potential in Jesus' name. You will fulfill potential in Jesus' name. Comparing yourself to others limits your potential. When you compare your performance and actions to that of another, you are allowing them to set your standard of achievement. You're allowing them to set your standard of achievement. But when you look at yourself through the eyes of God, then you would know that this is where God is calling me to be. I was saying some time ago that if I did things based on what other people did, I don't know the result that will happen, but if I did things based on how other people did things, then the situation, am I making sense? I moved past doing things because of how other people are acting or behaving, because I know that if I use them as my standard, if I use them as my yardstick, then I will not fulfill my own potential. Praise the Lord. The story was one, I'm not sure, yeah, I think it's a story actually, I don't think it's real. The story was once told of an eagle. This eagle, when this eagle was still an egg, was found by a farmer. The farmer picked the egg, took it home, and reared that eagle with his chickens. And this eagle did everything that the chickens did. Okay, so played around with worms, you know. Have we seen an eagle capture its prey? Have you seen a picture of an eagle capture its prey? I've seen it live. Very quick. Before you know it, something comes from the sky, just grabs it and disappears. But anyway, sorry. This eagle, you know, mixes with ants and picks worms up, eats worms, you know, fly a bit into the, you know, just a bit, because that's what this eagle sees. Because this eagle is comparing himself with what he has seen, with what is around him. And then one day, the farmer says to a naturalist, he says that, I've got an eagle. I think I was wrong. It was not an eagle, it's a chicken. And the naturalist comes along, looks at it and says, oh no, that's an eagle, 100% an eagle. Yeah, eagle. So he says, I'll show you. He picks up the eagle, puts the eagle on the fence and says, you see. But what did the eagle do? The eagle looked around, saw the other chickens still messing about. The eagle went back to meet the chickens, you know, did what chickens did. The farmer was like, you see, I told you, chicken. The man was like, you know what, okay, we'll try something else. It took him again to a further height, and the chicken did exactly the same thing. I told you, the farmer said, chicken, not an eagle. The man was like, it's definitely an eagle. Anyway, lastly, this naturalist takes the eagle, takes him away from that setting, from that environment, takes him completely to a different place. Top of the mountain, sun beaming down, and chucks the chicken, and the chicken soared, brought out the wings. You know, if you see an eagle there, you know, there's a difference between an eagle and a chicken. When we see ourselves the way God sees us, we will fulfill potentials. Amen. Stop looking at yourself the way others around you are. Okay? See how God wants you to see. Sometimes God will say to you, see this person, see the standard this person has. Look up to that person. Sometimes God would say that. Okay, I'm not saying that there is no place for mentoring. That's not what I'm saying. But what I'm saying is that, are you seeing God the way God sees you? If we're going to be complete in Him in 2019, then we need to see how God sees us. Amen. We need to see how God sees us. Amen. And you know, God is... We are seeing, I'm seeing, like I said, I'm seeing Ugo and I'm asking him that, is he, what was my question? I said, you said, are you married? That's the one you remember. But, sir? Are you a graduate? But you know, from God's perspective, God is seeing a generational blessing. God is seeing much more than the questions that I'm asking. And when Ugo realizes that I'm a generational blessing, the mindset is different. Amen. Ugo is not doing things the way other people are doing it because he realizes that what? He sees himself exactly how God sees him. I pray that we'll see how God sees us in the name of Jesus. My standard for measurement shouldn't be the attitudes and actions of others, but rather the word of God. Our actions reveal the depth of our faith in who we are. My actions reveals the depth of my faith in who I am. If you really know who you are, then you would act it. Amen. Amen. Comparing ourselves to one another, looking at other people and using them as our yardstick, the danger of that is that you would lose your identity. You would lose exactly who you are, like we saw earlier. Again, I was the question again goes back to, you know, the beginning when I said that, okay, the 5 minute situation, the 5 minute scenario and the 15 minute scenario. There's so many different factors that can come into play, and God sees all of these factors. He's the only one that knows all things. And God is the only one that can say that, you know what, this one, based on his knowledge, some person might just be some person might just do simple things. But for God, that person that is doing that simple thing, fulfilling his potential, is more successful than the people that the world sees and says they're fulfilling potential. Does that make sense? Does that make sense? I heard of a story of a man. He was an evangelist, and he went to a sick, a 17-year-old boy's sick bed. This 17-year-old boy was contemplated suicide and actually did the act, but thank God this child did not die. This 17-year-old boy was on his sick bed, and this evangelist goes to his room, and back in those days, all of these things were still very much allowed. He goes into his room and says to his mom, can I read the Gideon Bible to him? And the woman was like, can you not see what's going on here? You, as in, you know what, you're disturbing us. But the man insisted that, please, can I read this Bible to this young man? This is the time, this is the critical time. This is the time that this child actually needs it the most. Reluctantly, the mother says, yes, you know what? You give me the Bible, I'll read it to the child. And as the mother was reading the scriptures to him, it struck a chord with this young man, and this young man said that, if indeed you've come to give life and you give me life, he says that, what, I will serve you for the rest of my life. I will spend all of my days seeking the truth. Praise the Lord. He says, I will spend all of my days seeking the truth. That was what this young man said because of what the mother read to him. Now, the person we're talking about, does anyone know who the person is? This 17-year-old boy. Huh? Anyone knows who is 17 year old? Have you heard of Ravi Zacharias? Have you heard of Ravi Zacharias? Now, this man that gave him the Bible said that, you know what? Sometimes I think all that God created me to do was to hand in that Bible. Imagine if that man had not gone to the hospital that day. Imagine if he had not given the mom the Gideon Bible to read. What would have happened? For God, like I said, when you're comparing things, God, the way God sees success is not the way we see success. We see a millionaire out there and we think he's a successful man. But God is not referring that to success. And for us to be complete in Christ, we need to know exactly what yardsticks God is giving to us. You know, sometimes we talk about pain and we look at the pain, the anger that we're going through. And we look at other people and we're like, they're not even going through half of what I'm going through. God, why is that? But the Bible tells us that no temptation will come our way. It says it guarantees that no temptation will come our way that we cannot overcome, that there won't be a way of escape. Amen. So whatever temptations are coming to us, whatever pains we're going through, whatever anguish we're going through, there's a way of escape. And you're going through it because God knows that you can overcome. Amen. He knows you can overcome that situation. So stop comparing yourself to that person and say, Father, when I look at that family, the grass is greener on the other side for them. Things look extremely rosy for them. But God is saying that, you know what? There's a reason why you're going through what you're going through. And God will see you through. He promises that he will see us through. Amen. We lose our identity when we begin to use other people that we see in our circles as our yardstick. God intentionally made you different from others. Amen. God intentionally made you different from others. Even identical twins, they're different. I know some people still say myself and T, we look alike, but some people still call me T and K and, you know. But even twins, even identical twins are different. God intentionally made you different from others. You are actually a result of his divine design. You're the result of a divine design. Amen. Psalm 139 verse 14 says that. Psalm 139 verse 14. It says, I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works, and that my soul knows very well. That my soul knows very well. I am wonderfully and fearfully made. And there's no shadow of doubt about that. I know that I am wonderfully and fearfully made. Amen. And when we understand these things, then we can be fully complete in him. Like it's a call to spiritual maturity. It's not doing things because of how others are doing it. It's not we're looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. When we compare ourselves to others, especially in regards to our spiritual journey, we risk glossing over our sins because we feel that at least they aren't as bad as theirs. Okay? When we compare ourselves to one another, there's the risk that I see them, they're clubbing and they're doing this, but like I said, I mean, I go to church every Sunday. I think I'm okay. They see me this week, they don't see me next week. I do Sunday medicine. At least I know people that don't go to church at all. When you compare yourselves to them, then you risk what you're doing is you're justifying yourself. At least they aren't as bad as theirs. Let's have a look at Luke chapter 18, verse 11 to 14. And we see what Christ says. Luke 18, 11 to 14. Luke 18, 11 to 14. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank you that I am not like that other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And that tax collector, standing afar off, would not so much as raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. When we compare ourselves, as we see there, we risk not receiving justification, not receiving forgiveness, because we're comparing ourselves. We're saying that, you know what, I mean, Bible study this year. I've been to all Bible study this year. And God is saying, can you remember what was taught last week? And God is saying, can you remember what was taught 2 weeks ago? But you're going about saying, no, my Bible study attendance this year is 100% correct. But God is looking at you and he's saying, seriously, when we see the way God sees us, we can fulfill potential. When we see the way God sees us, we can run to him to cry for mercy. When we see the way God sees us, we won't lose our identity. You won't lose who you are. I pray that none of us will lose who we are in the name of Jesus. John chapter 21, verse 21 to 22. John 21, 21 to 22. I think it was Peter that was asking the question. Yeah. Peter, seeing himself, said to Jesus, but Lord, what about this man? The man he was referring to, I believe, was John. John the Beloved. You know, the thing about with John the Beloved is, he calls himself, if you look through the scripture, you only see that John was described as beloved in John. He described himself as beloved of God. He knew who he was. Amen. So, yeah, Peter was saying that, sorry if we go back to 21. Peter was saying that, Peter seeing him said to Jesus, but Lord, what about this man? And what did Jesus say? Jesus said to him, if I will that he remains till I come, what is that to you? And what does he say to him? What does he say to him? He says, you follow me. So what Jesus was saying to Peter was, how I'm dealing, exactly, mind your business. Thank you very much. Mind your own business. If I decide that this person would not die till I return, that's how I want it. But you do what? You follow me. Follow. Are you following Christ? Are you following Christ? Are we following Christ? Or are we looking at what's happening in the lives of other people? Are we looking at what's happening around us? Are we looking at how God is blessing other people? Christ is saying, what is it with you? You just do what? You just follow me. Do the bidding of the master. Do exactly the things I expect you to do. You follow me. Our time is fast spent. Can I invite the choir as we take that song again, please? And I'd like us to prayerfully take it that, Father, that I would see myself the way that you see me. For somebody, that might be the most important prayer point this year. When you see yourself, can we rise to our feet, please? When we see ourselves exactly how God sees us, then we're going to be complete in him. When we see ourselves exactly how the master sees us, the potter, when we see ourselves exactly how he sees us, then we won't compare ourselves to what is going on around us. For somebody, that's the most important prayer point that you would pray this year.
You gently call me into your presence, guiding me by your Holy Spirit. Teach me, dear Lord, to live all of my life through by your holy calling, set me apart. I know you're drawing me to yourself. Lead me, Lord, I pray.
The Lord would mold you.
You guide me.
Pray that He will guide you.
Lead me.
Pray that He would lead you.
Walk beside me.
That He will walk beside you.
I give my life.
That everything about you,
the potter's
hand, will be based on the potter's touch. So, Father and our God, we just want to say thank you for your word that has come to us this afternoon. We thank you because you're calling us to a place where we're complete in you. And Father, like the lyrics of that song said, we pray that you teach us, O Lord, to live all of our lives through your eyes in the name of Jesus. We pray that everything about us will be captured by your calling in the name of Jesus. We pray that you will set us apart for your own use in the name of Jesus. Father, we pray that you would lead us in all that we do in the name of Jesus. And Father, Lord, our earnest desire is that come the end of 2019, every one of us will be complete in you in the name of Jesus. That will be heavenly standards in the name of Jesus. We pray for ourselves, oh God, that heaven will be pleased consigning us in the name of Jesus. We pray for ourselves, our children, our loved ones, that heaven will boast consigning us in the name of Jesus. As we go today, Father, we pray that your presence will not depart from us in the name of Jesus. We pray, Lord, that you will see us through in the name of Jesus. Father, some people are expecting some decisions concerning them this week. We cry out to you, Lord, that every decision that is made concerning us, those decisions will favor us in the name of Jesus. We pray that no weapon of the enemy formed against us shall prosper in the name of Jesus. Amen. We pray, Lord, that under your wings we will abide in the name of Jesus. Amen. And Father, we pray for ourselves, Lord, that destiny help us, people that will stir up the potential in us, that you will send them our way this week in the name of Jesus. Amen. We give you all the praise. In Jesus' mighty name we pray.
Amen.
Shall we share the grace and fellowship? May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the sweet fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us now and forevermore. Amen. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our lives, and we shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever. Amen.